Islam in daily life.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Islam in Daily Life, which is prepared each week by Dr. Sayyid Ali Nabi. Islam guides our faith-oriented intellect so that Muslims may benefit from the hikmat, wisdom, as well as from the qudrat, power of Allah. This leads us to a basic principle, the principle of consistency between words and deeds, which means the wholehearted acceptance of truth and adherence to it in practice. A mu'min is one whose faith provides him with motivation and whose deeds demonstrate his faith and sincerity. The Quran divides men into three groups, believers, non-believers, and hypocrites, and explains their nature and action in the early section of Surat al-Baqarah. Allah describes the hypocrites in detail. They are only mindful of their immediate needs and have a diseased heart. They think they can get the best of both the worlds by compromising good with evil. And the Quran beautifully points out that whatever comes to them is used for evil ends. Islamic education aims at warding off these disrupting tendencies among Muslims through teachers, books, and the social order. Thus it aims at developing a strong ummah, united in faith, disciplined in action, living and dying for the cause of truth and peace, and providing the light of Tawhid to humanity at large. Let us pause and think how Islam can be made a living and abiding force in our daily life. The one way to find an answer to this question is to look at the verses which begin with, O you who believe. These verses focus our attention on the fundamental principles and values of Islam. These have to be studied carefully by all of us and the educationalists. Economists, sociologists, and scientists should study them with a view to integrate them into their own fields of studies and widening the scope of their subjects so that Muslim children are thoroughly acquainted with the Islamic point of view. At the conceptual level, each verse which begins with, O you who believe, demonstrates very explicably that Islam is not to be confused with the word religion, in its narrow sense, which means a set of dogmas, mythological beliefs, superstitions, and certain ceremonial rituals, which divide life into secular and non-secular compartments. Islam came to do away with such discrimination. It came to present the whole of reality to man and to give him guidance in every walk of life. In Islam, every act becomes worship, if it is performed to fulfill the will of Allah on earth, or to serve humanity for His pleasure. It is the mental background of the agent and its effect on the act that determines its value. This approach is well summarized in the recommendations of the First World Conference on Muslim Education, which was held in Mecca in 1977, in the following words. The meaning of worship in Islam is both extensive and comprehensive. It is not restricted to the physical performance of religious rituals, but embraces all aspects of activity, faith, thought, feeling, and work, in conformity with what Allah, praise be to Him, says in the Holy Quran, I have created the jinn and man only to worship me. And say, O my Lord, my prayer, my sacrifice, my life, and my death are for Allah, the Lord of the worlds, who hath no peer. It is interesting to note that soon after the child is born, the adhan, call from the minaret, is said in his right ear and the iqama in his left. This is chiefly meant to provide enlightenment to the soul of the child and remind his parents and those concerned with his education and training of the basic values on which his character and attitudes are to be developed. Mothers are in the best position to give a child the concept of Allah in the most loving and affectionate manner, often by the repetition of the word of Allah or through a rhyme in Arabic or the mother tongue. These Islamic rhymes provide comfort and solace to the child and develop in him a love of Allah and his Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Islam would insist that besides providing the concept of Allah and Rasul, a proper environment must be created so that a child may develop unconsciously a longing for certain good habits, such as cleanliness, truth, honesty, and a sense of respect and gratefulness. Children must realize that the games that they play, the food that they eat, which strengthens their body and develops certain traits in them, and the social, academic, scientific, and technical subjects that they study are all integral parts of the knowledge which has been made obligatory on all Muslims, as long as the knowledge gained is not misused. They must realize that the way they deal with their teachers are also integral parts of their responsibilities to Allah and to those around them. It must also be brought home to Muslim boys and girls that, in order to bring about a fruitful harmony in the various faculties of the body, emotions, and soul, it is imperative that they should have before them the life of the Holy Prophet as a guiding star. This is only possible when they have a deep love for him. The various aspects of his character, which can be understood by the students at various stages, should be made known and demonstrated. For example, cleanliness, love of knowledge, sociability, hospitality, determination, perseverance, firmness in the hour of trial, service to humanity, and humility while one is in power. It is desirable that on suitable occasions, meetings should be organized to make them aware of the importance of these qualities. While our schools will be concerned with producing cultured citizens and equipping them with characters based on Islamic values, the great task of reorientation of Islamic thought and the rediscovery of the Islamic principles for the onward march will have to be undertaken in earnest by our universities, whose main concern is the widening of the frontiers of knowledge. And with this we come to the end of this edition of Islam in Daily Life, which is prepared by Dr. Saeed Ali Nabi.
Islam in Daily Life.